In our studies in the book of Proverbs this evening, we're working through various topics, various themes that the book of Proverbs addresses. And we're working through these themes, these topics, more or less alphabetically. And it's not an exhaustive treatment, it's more a dipping the toe into the waters, as it were. Business. That is our topic this evening. It's a broad subject, and it encompasses many aspects of the Proverbs, which we will not look at in their entirety this evening. For some of these subjects we'll actually look at separately. For example, under the heading of business, we could speak about hard work over against laziness, but we won't. We could also think about the need for careful planning rather than carelessness. But we won't do that either, because we're going to be looking at those subjects individually. My approach this evening is to highlight three important issues relating to business dealings, but which have a broader application. So even if you're not in business, then there will be enough here to be of relevance to you. So three issues relating to business dealings that have a broader application. And the first one is to say that Proverbs teaches us to deal honestly. To deal honestly. Deception to gain advantage is repeatedly condemned in the book of Proverbs. For example, chapter 11 and verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Chapter 16 and verse 11, a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Chapter 20 and verse 10, unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. And verse 23 of the same chapter, unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. Of course, what the compiler of these Proverbs is highlighting by talking in terms of false weights and measures is dishonesty. What often happened among those who took the deceptive route to prosperity was that they would have two different kinds of weights. It may have printed on it 1 kilogram, or whatever the measure was for them, but it may not actually weigh 1 kilogram, depending on whether they were buying or selling. And so you would think you were getting a kilo of wheat, when in fact you might only be getting 950 grams. Deception to gain advantage. But it's not just in trading. You could apply that to a whole range of different aspects of life and of business life. For example, chapter 11 and verse 18 says, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. I think of the time when I was working in a place where we had clocking in cards and clocking out cards. And sometimes someone would get someone else to clock them out. They'd leave 15 minutes early, but their timesheet would be right. They left on time because a friend of theirs had clocked them out. Or they'd know that they were going to be in work late the next day, so they'd get someone to take their clocking in card and put it through the machine so that it was showed them as arriving on time. Well, that's dishonesty. That's a wicked man earning deceptive wages. But if it may be that you arrive to work on time every day and you leave at the appropriate time every day, in fact, you may give your boss an extra 15 minutes. But you take time out in the middle of the day. You extend your tea breaks and your lunch break. Or you use the office phone to make personal calls. Or the internet for your own personal use. All of this, you see, is deceptive, it's deceitful, and it's condemned. Deal honestly, the book of Proverbs says. And of course, there's the contrast there, isn't there? Yes, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. It isn't that they'll lose out by it. When they have to turn up late, they're docked 15 minutes of their wage. When they have to leave early for a genuine reason and they have to clock out, then they lose out. Well, no, they don't lose out in the end. Their reward is secure, not only within the business environment where they are known to be trustworthy and honest and reliable, but also, you see, throughout the book of Proverbs, we have this sense that there's a higher power looking on, observing, watching. To use the words of a popular song, God is watching us. The song says, from a distance. But he's close enough to read the clocking in and out card and to see what you're doing on the internet. He knows. And the righteous gets a sure reward. Deception to gain an advantage isn't just done by those who are trading. Customers can also be shrewd and deceptive in this regard. And Proverbs also addresses that, though certainly not with the frequency of the other. But in chapter 20, in verse 14, the compiler includes this proverb. Bad, bad, says the buyer. It's not worth $5. I'll give you $3.50 for it. But when he goes away, he boasts. Hey, I got a great deal today. I told the guy that this thing wasn't really up to standard. So I got the price down a little bit. Look what a good deal I got. You see, the idea here is that the customer, the buyer, is being deceptive. He's saying, oh, I could get better quality goods from just down the road. At less price, so come on, you can do me a deal here. When in fact, the person that he's buying from has the best quality goods at a reasonable price. Well, you could extend it, couldn't you? You head over to Bunnings. You check out the price there. $100 for a tool. Then you go over to Mitre 10 and you check out the price there. $120 for the same tool. You head back to Bunnings and you buy the tool there at a cheaper price. And then you go to Mitre 10 and you argue, oh, look, there's a cheaper price there. And they say they've got their guarantee, 15% cheaper. And you do the deal. You've been deceptive, you see, because you knew all the time where the cheapest deal was. We have to be careful, you see. Honesty in our dealings isn't simply playing the game, as it were, as some people would put it. Honest is being up front, telling the truth, being responsible, which is the second issue that Proverbs raises. Not only are you to deal honestly, but you are to deal responsibly. You know, financial decisions in the business place can make or break a business. And Proverbs has a lot to say about borrowing and lending. It essentially discourages it. We've already encountered this in the longer discourses at the beginning of Proverbs, in the first 9 chapters. In the 6th chapter, the wise father tells his son, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbour, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbour. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbour. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler." The son has got himself into a tight spot because he's been made himself agreed to be security for his neighbour in a loan from a stranger. And the wise father says, get out of the deal. Do anything that you can. Exert yourself, if possible, to get out of the arrangement. Because such an arrangement often leads to pain and anguish. Often turns sour. There are two basic priorities that Proverbs exhorts in terms of dealing responsibly. Firstly, it basically says, act responsibly for yourself. Think about yourself. Now, that's not to contradict what other passages of Scripture have to say. It's not to contradict Paul's exhortations in his letters to think of others better than yourself and so forth. But you are to act responsibly for yourself. You're to avoid making or securing loans that could turn bad. In chapter 11 and verse 15, for example, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. If you don't offer yourself as security, or offer your property or your money as security, you've got nothing to worry about. But enter into a pledge with someone you don't know, they may well walk off with it. Chapter 17 and in verse 18. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbour. Oh, a witness has seen it. Observes the transaction. So when it turns sour, there's no avoiding the consequences. Chapter 22 and verses 26 and 27. Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? The idea here, of course, is that the bed, or in the reading that we had earlier from Deuteronomy, a poor man giving his coat as security, the most valuable thing he owned, well, it could be taken from him if he's not able to repay the debt in time. Think about yourself, the compiler of Proverbs says. Put yourself first in this regard. Avoid making or securing a loan that could turn bad and cause you problems. On the other hand, if you do secure a loan or make a loan, be prepared to force payment, the writer of Proverbs says. Chapter 20 and verse 16, which is almost word for word repeated in chapter 27 and verse 13, says, take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for foreigners. Now, when you relate that back to one of those earlier ones where it spoke about the fool One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbour. What is happening here is that the writer is saying, if you've given a loan, then call on the payment. The person who made or secured the loan should have counted the cost and been willing to bear the cost. You shouldn't have to bear it. Again, it's acting responsibly for yourself. But we don't just deal responsibly in terms of ourselves, according to Proverbs. We ought also to act responsibly towards others. And in chapter 11, and in verses 24 and 25, we read, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. While it may be true to act responsibly for oneself means avoiding pledges, securing or making, giving loans, to act responsibly to others implies generosity. In other words, if you are going to act responsibly towards someone else, if they have a genuine need, don't give them a loan. Give them a gift. If their need is real, so that someone might be willing to take a security, a valuable possession, in order to provide a loan that will meet that need, if their need is so great, give them a gift. Be generous towards them. Meet their needs. One gives freely, he grows all the richer. Because God sees, you see. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Do not withhold from your neighbour when it is in the power of your hand to help them. Throughout the scriptures, in fact, we find this principle, and these are proverbs that simply enshrine those principles in perhaps more memorable language. So the principle here, of course, is when we deal responsibly for ourselves and towards others, it doesn't imply stinginess, but rather generosity when we have the ability to help. It places no obligation on us if we're unable to help in times of need. And indeed, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and encourages them that though at one time they were unable to help the church in Jerusalem, now that their circumstances have changed, they should follow through on their original desire to have helped. At one time they were under no obligation because they had no means. Now they are under obligation because they do have the means. That is to deal responsibly. And then in the third place, the third issue that I want to highlight under this heading is the need to deal reliably. The need to deal reliably. So we recognise the need for honesty, whether we're traders, customers, employees or employers. Whatever the circumstances may be, we deal honestly. We deal responsibly. We don't take on debts that we cannot afford. We don't give loans that we cannot afford to lose. We deal generously with those who are in need. In the third place, we deal reliably. Proverbs warns against what we would call today get-rich-quick schemes. Rather, it favours steady, purposeful labour. Now, we're going to be considering hard work over against laziness later on. But I do want to draw out this principle of a reliable hard worker rather than someone who's simply out for a get-rich-quick scenario. Chapter 13 and verse 11, for example, says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase." And it's sort of echoed in chapter 21 and verse 5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." And in chapter 14 and verse 23, "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." Well, it's a little different from the others. It's not so much a get-rich-quick approach. It's more a having big ideas approach, talking about all the great things that they'll do, the wonderful things that they'll achieve, but it's all hot air. They never get up off their backsides and do anything about it. "Oh, I could do this, oh, I could do that, and I've got this idea, and I've got that plan." But they never exert themselves. There's profit in toil, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Reliable people who are ready for steady, purposeful labour will not only profit themselves, they will benefit in a wider way as well. Chapter 27 and verse 18. "Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honoured." So here's a horticulturalist looking after his little orchard, tending his fig tree. It'll produce fruit. He prunes it appropriately, he waters and feeds it, and in the appropriate season, he will gather its fruit. "And he who guards his master will be honoured." He who takes a responsible attitude to his work and is reliable in his place of employment will be honoured. Perhaps you've seen it, as I have, that there are those who come and go, and they simply take the easiest route for themselves and the most comfortable. They'll do the minimum that's required in order to get the job done and absolutely no more. And then you see other employees who will bend over backwards to ensure that the business prospers. They may put in extra hours, or they've spent time at home thinking through a plan, an approach to dealing with a problem, and they come into work and they share their plans because they're concerned. They recognise that their own future is tied up in the business, even though they may not be the proprietor, they may not be a shareholder, but their own wage comes from the business. But more than that, they'll be honoured, they'll be respected, they'll be well treated. I worked in a place once where the manager was an excellent manager. If you work hard. And he would do anything that he could to accommodate your needs. If you did anything you could to accommodate his needs. So if you worked hard there, if he asked you to do an extra shift and you did it, then 2 weeks down the track when you needed an afternoon off for some reason, he would give it. But those who clocked in at the exact time and clocked out at the exact time and went about their lives thinking only of themselves, well, he was much less likely to give them the afternoon off when they asked for it at short notice. Reliability, you see. What comes around goes around. Now, in this regard, Proverbs picks up a theme that is perhaps a little alien to us in our days of emails and telephones and faxes. Well, faxes are getting a bit old now, I suppose. But we have such easy communication today that a couple of these proverbs may seem a bit strange to us. Proverbs 13 and verse 17, for example. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Or in a similar vein, chapter 25 and verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. The idea here is that a reliable person, a reliable messenger in this case, will take the message promptly and deliver it accurately. It will be refreshing to the master to know that he has this messenger working on his behalf. On the other hand, in contrast to that, a wicked messenger falls into trouble. He doesn't even get to his destination. He gets distracted along the way. The pub door is open and he can't resist a pint. And before you know it, he's drunk and disorderly. When he gets to the destination, he cannot communicate the message accurately. And a business transaction may fall through, for example. That's the kind of idea that is being conveyed here. In other words, responsible, reliable messengers are a benefit. They're an asset to an employer. And so, the book of Proverbs advocates honest dealings, responsible dealings, reliable dealings. Wisdom will do this. Wisdom will teach a man or a woman to be honest, to be responsible, and to be reliable in all their dealings. Their choices will be made with care. They'll weigh up the implications of what they've been asked to do. Is it responsible for themselves? Is it responsible towards others? Their decision will be made taking into account whether or not they can reliably pursue that particular course of action, or will they end up letting people down, failing someone through lack of proper assessment. And in all those choices and all those decisions, honest answers will be given, an honest business transacted. Furthermore, promises will be kept. Though here, in what we've looked at, there's no direct treatment of the issue of an outcome. Implicit is, of course, that if you have secured a loan and it turns sour, you bear it. You keep your promise, whatever the cost. Psalm 15 actually deals directly with this subject. It's not a proverb, but it's part of the wisdom literature. Psalm 15 says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbour, nor take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honours those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And of course, such behaviour reflects that of Jesus Christ, who, at great cost, dealt honestly, responsibly, and reliably toward us. He spoke the truth about our condition. He spoke the truth about our future. He spoke the truth about the way of salvation. He was always a man who was ready to confront those who were in error and correct them, as well as to encourage those who were suffering in one way or another and provide strength and assistance. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ acted responsibly towards us in offering a way of salvation and in following through on it, though it was at immense cost to him. And he ended up paying for us a price that we could never pay out of his own abundant resources, though it was still painful for him. And Jesus Christ always deals reliably with us. We can trust him in all that he says, and we can trust him in all that he asks us to do. He will not let any evil come our way without providing a way of escape. He will not let any temptation overwhelm us without equipping us to deal with it. He will not call us to any task without giving us the strength to fulfill that task. And in every place, everywhere he sends us, in whatever circumstances we may find ourselves, Jesus Christ promises to be with us, to strengthen us, and enable us to fulfill it. So when we behave honestly, reliably, and responsibly, we reflect in some small measure the character of Christ and his dealings with us. Now, we could apply these in so many different ways, and we could spend the whole night looking at how, in our individual circumstances, these apply. Of course, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and the New Testament tells us if we lack wisdom, we ask God, and he will give it. He will help us to be honest and responsible and reliable. He'll help us to know what choices to make and to do it for his glory and for our good.